Now, as we've been hearing in the news, health and council leaders right across Merseyside and Cheshire bracing themselves for new lockdown restrictions as the number of cases continue to rise, rising quite rapidly, actually. Liverpool, Warrington, Knowsley, St Helens have now got infection rates above the government's threshold, 100 for every 100,000 people. That's the cut-off point. That's the government's little benchmark there, where they've done this before. They've brought in restrictions. Almost 2 million people in the northeast now are facing new restrictions from midnight tonight. The full details of the measures are still yet to be announced on how that's going to work, but it will likely include early closing times for pubs and tougher limits on households mixing together. Dr. Angela Obasi, a senior clinical lecturer at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Angela, thanks for being with us. You've been through us right through this whole thing. Where we're at this morning, in the middle of September, are we losing control of this virus?
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me on again. To say lose control, that's strong language. I think the reality is that we have to respond to the data as it emerges. I think I've said this before, and we're in a very different position now to where we were in the beginning. If you remember, in the beginning, testing was very restricted. It was symptoms based. It was hospital based, and the discussion, the numbers that we were talking about, were very often about numbers of people who were ill or dead, and that's quite different now. The numbers that we're talking about are people who are just infected, not necessarily ill, often as asymptomatic. So I'm always keen to remind people of that being positive, being a case, doesn't necessarily mean that you're ill. And I think it's important to bear that in mind.
And this is what we're trying to avoid, isn't it? This is, we're looking maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks ahead. Once the weather starts turning cold as well, and we're spending more time indoors, this is what we're trying to avoid, are those cases, you know, that do end up in hospital. And you're absolutely right. We're not talking anywhere near the numbers that we were, you know, six months ago. But this is what we're doing this now to avoid problems in the weeks and months to come.
Absolutely. And we can stop now. I mean, you've literally made the point that
Oh, no, please don't. Please don't stop, because I'd have to find something else to talk about. But that's the point, though, isn't it? You know, the situation of heading this off at the pass, if you like.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And the guidance is clear. Presumably on your website, you've got links to the government guidance. You know, the basics that we've been talking about all along: washing hands, social distancing, isolating if you have symptoms. The symptoms are really clear. New continuous cough, loss of smell. These are things that it's worth just reminding people that, in those situations when you know that somebody really seriously might have COVID, that those are the people who we definitely know are likely to transmit. So those are the people that we really need to be very clear that they are, they're isolated.
We have this news from the northeast, you know, Sunderland, Newcastle, you know, Durham, places like that. Why is it that the north rather than the south is seeing this rapid rise in cases, do you think?
See, that's a $64 million question that I cannot answer. I was fortunate to be able to take a bit of time with my kids in London earlier on before the more serious lockdowns. Yeah. And I was very impressed at the degree of social distancing and mask wearing in the capital, where, you know, I was expecting things to be much less easy to control. But those are, you know, people walked on the left-hand side. I took my kids to Madame Tussauds, and, you know, the lady measured my daughter's temperature, and, you know, we were all masked up, and people didn't, you know, if you didn't have a mask, somebody gave you one. Yeah. And I don't know whether things like that, because people are so tightly packed together there and they were so organised, maybe that has been an issue. I just don't know.
Yeah, and they were hit really hard.
I'm not sure you could find anybody who could tell you.
And in London, you know, they were hit really, really hard in the early parts of that. But it's funny you should say that, because we have people ring the radio station all the time, and emails and texts and whatever, and they constantly say that when they go into shops, or you might nip into, you know, supermarket or whatever, people are wearing masks, but there's a hell of a lot of people who are just not bothering to, even if it's mandatory. You know, please wear a mask. It is mandatory to wear a mask when you come into this store. You can see the posters as you walk in, but you can walk around the store and you can see people. Now, there may be people who are exempt from this, but there seems to be a hell of a lot of people who are exempt.
Well, it's a changing culture, isn't it? I mean, when you leave your house, you always remember your car keys, don't you? When you leave your house, you always remember your uniform, your handbag or your briefcase or whatever it is. And this is now this new thing that we have to remember. We have to remember to keep a mask in your pocket, to keep a mask in the glove compartment. You know, and as that kicks in, people hopefully will get better. But it's about constantly remembering that times have changed. You know, I now have to put a mask. I cycle to work, so I have to put a mask in each pannier because I might forget, you know, which pannier I'm taking. I've got a mask in my jacket pocket, and that's what it's going to take.
Well, it is like that now, isn't it? You're right. As soon as you mentioned that, I've just reached into my pocket and I've brought out my mask as you went, because I went, oh, I've got it. Because I can't go and get a butty on my break if I haven't got my mask on. So it is. Mm. It's as you say. It's like picking up your car keys. It's picking up your purse or your wallet. Let me just ask about, you know, we are finding more and more cases. Do you think it's been the case that these cases have already been out there, but the more that we look, it's like, say, you dropped your purse and you're the only one looking for it in the park. But if you get 100 of your friends to come and look for it, there's a really good chance that you're going to find your purse. And because there's more eyes looking for the virus at the moment, maybe it's a case of that.
Again, I can go and make my cup of tea. You've already made the point that I wanted to make. I had a complicated analogy in my head about the number of cases in a household, and if you had more people looking, but your purse analogy is just so much better. That's it. The more you look, the more likely you are to find.
You're desperate to get out of this interview. That's twice you've tried to bail out there, you know. The test and trace, I mean, that is key to this. And we need to get on board with this, don't we? And I've noticed in the past couple of weeks where you could go in and get yourself a breakfast and it's up to you. You know, you can sign the clipboard on the way in. But now what I have noticed is there will be a person at the door to say, before you take a table, can you please sign the track and trace? So there's that urge, urging you to do this at the moment, because people could put any name down, could put any number down.
And I think as a society, we have to take this. I think the problem we've got with COVID is it's people understand at some level that the high rates of mortality that we were worried about at the beginning. And the people, a lot of people did die. That kind of seems to be fading from people's minds now. And people just want to get back to normality, I feel. And I think what we just need a final push to be, just take that extra step, take your mask, keep home if you need to, remember to keep that social distancing. And we can then turn that off. Zero. I think people now understand what that R0 is.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that we can control about that. And the likelihood of transmission, the number of contacts, is one of the factors in that equation. And we can control that. And if we can just pull together, just for this final push, and turn the corner, you know, and then, you know, we'll be home clear. But it's about a culture change. It's about remembering. I don't think people are, you know, people are, my experience certainly of people in Merseyside, people are good. People want to do the right thing. It's just about remembering.
Exactly that. And just one final point. We've got about a minute left. Where are we with the development of a potential vaccine? When can you see one coming on? Again, I think this is the $65,000 question. We've had the 64. This is now the 65. When can we expect that, do you think?
So I know that we've got some brilliant people working on it. I think the last time I was on, I mentioned my colleague Daniela Ferreira, who's a professor with me here at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine, and she's running a team that's working on a vaccine. We've got partners all over the world, really, fighting this battle. And I come from a background of HIV medicine, and if I think about where we are now in the HIV world in terms of having really powerful, excellent treatment for people, I have real confidence that that brain power will get us a vaccine. We've got the right people on it.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just a matter of time. Right. But, you know, this is a virus that we didn't even know the name of this time last year.
Exactly that.
So the fact that we've even got a candidate vaccine is extraordinary progress.
It's a case of everybody working together. Angela, thanks very much indeed. I'll let you get on your bike, as it were, and stuff the masks in your panniers left and right, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for your time and your expertise, as ever. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
So there you are. For those who don't know what panniers are, the little bags on the side of your bike.
Because
I just had a feeling people go, what, are you stuffing masks in a panniers? What the hell's what's going on here?
I'm glad you... I always thought it was pannier.